ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ ईशावास्यम् इदं सर्वम् यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीताः मा गृधः कस्य सुद्धनम् इदं सर्वम् ईशावास्यम् All that is here, this entire universe, this entire world of objects, yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Jagati means universe. It's a feminine gender word. Jagat is a neuter gender word. Jagati is a feminine gender word. Same meaning. So jagatyam jagat. So whatever little is there on this earth means everything that is here. So upalakshanam for the universe in its entirety. This entire universe has to be covered with the vision of the self. Which means the entire cosmos has to be negated as mithya. The entire world of objects, the dvaita prapanchaha, all the differences, the duality, the plurality, the multiplicity, everything that is here has to be negated as mithya, resolved through the vision of the self being Paramatma. What is that which is very important to be noted here is, Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary, Isha, for that word, it is that the Lord, there is no Lord other than the Self. So through the vision of the Paramatma, the Self, may this entire universe be resolved, negated as mithya. This negation of universe, negation of objective world through the vision of the truth as the self is in fact jnanam, knowledge. And here he shifts, he does not say, may this entire universe be resolved in the Lord. Doesn't say that. He doesn't, but he makes it very clear. May this entire universe be resolved in Lord the Self. All that is here is only Ishvara. Ishvara eva idam sarvam, he doesn't say that. It is correct, but still he says, Ishvaraha eva idam sarvam, aham Ishvaraha, aham idam sarvam. I am all. All that is here is what? Myself. When you say this in the statement, for you the essence is no more in the body-mindfulness complex. The essence is already shifted from the body-mindfulness complex and resolved in consciousness, the reality, the Atma, the Paramatma, Parambrahma, Chaitanyam. And you say what? All that is here is myself. I am all. To make it very clear, Adishankara Bhagavatpada, little more he elaborates. He gives an example, beautiful example, very beautiful example. You like it. You all must have heard, seen this sandalwood, chandanam. Chandanam means sandalwood. And we also have something called agaru. I do not know the English word for this Sanskrit word agaru. Chandanam, sandalwood. Agaru is also equally fragrant substance like sandalwood. So, chandana agaru adehe. Chandana agarva dehe. This sandalwood or agaru, chandanam or agaru, are naturally of the very sweet fragrance. Very pleasant, sweet fragrance. The fragrance is the original innate nature of the sandalwood, chandanam. So, vastavikaha swarupa sugandhaha. Vastavikaha means what? Innate, intrinsic, original, uncreated, unborrowed nature. Like how in jasmine, fragrance is its own. It's not artificially perfumed, isn't it? Like the chandanam, fragrance of the sandalwood is innate, intrinsic, original fragrance. And this sandalwood or agaru, chandanam or agaru, suppose if it is placed in water for a long time, because of its association with the water, the connection with the water for a long time, in the long run, what happens? It, because of the dampness or moisture, or can even the wetness caused by the association with the water, some sort of encrustation gets formed on the part of the sandalwood. When the sandalwood gets encrusted, the encrustation becomes like a layer, and from that very foul stink, the odor comes. The foul odor, the stink coming from that encrustation covers the sweet, really the pleasant fragrance of the sandalwood. In fact, the foul smell belongs to that encrustation, that becomes an upadhi for the sandalwood. Sandalwood is upahitam. And that encrustation becomes the upadhi. Now the foul smell, durgandaha and sugandaha, we have two now. Durgandaha and sugandaha. Durgandaha belongs to upadhi, the encrustation. Some fungus like layer. And sugandha belongs to the sandalwood. Now what happened? Sugandha remains covered. Durgandha, the foul smell, covers the sugandha. Sugandha is called vastavikaha, original fragrance. Sugandha vastavikaha. Durgandaha aupadikaha. The foul smell belonging to the upadhi, the encrustation, is called aupadikaha durgandaha. Sugandaha, the fragrance belonging to the sandalwood, is vastavikaha, the original innate fragrance. Now this innate fragrance has to be there, and this durgandha, the foul smell, has to be covered. Now it's the other ways, isn't it? The foul smell is covering the fragrance, but now our work is to make the sugandha has to cover. Which means the sugandha, this durgandha has to be removed, eliminated. How can the durgandha be eliminated? How can the foul smell be removed? Only by scrubbing, rubbing the encrustation, isn't it? We cannot create the fragrance. The fragrance is already there. Only the fragrance has to manifest. For the fragrance to manifest, we need not do any work. The fragrance will manifest naturally. Only the incrustation has to be removed. Along with the upadhi dharma, the foul smell also will resolve. Understand? Which means the sugandha, that's why through the manifestation of the sugandha, the fragrance, this durgandha caused by the incrustation, and the encrustation has to be covered. Covered means what? Here covering implies removed. For which you need to rub it, isn't it? It has to be rubbed. It has to be removed. The layer of fungus has to be removed. And that removal, Shankara uses the term nigharshanam. Nigharshanam he uses. So what is the nigharshanam here? How to do that rubbing? That rubbing is in fact shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Is the rubbing. Okay? Only through the very strong nigharshanam of shravanam and nididhyasanam, you rub and rub and rub. And the due course of time, the whole incrustation goes. the shining comes. So you are not bringing anything. Then naturally, the original, innate, the fragrance of the sandalwood, it only what now? Comes to manifest. It's already there, but was there, not manifest. Now it's manifest. So through Shravanam, Mananam, Vidyasanam, scrubbing, rubbing, remove the Upadhi. And the Upadhi produced foul smell. Thereby what happens? Then fragrance comes in the fragrance of the original fragrance of the sandalwood covers the foul smell, which means it removes the foul smell for good. Suppose when you say aupadikaha durgandaha is incidental. It's incidental. But sugandaha is vastavikaha, it is permanent, isn't it? Original, innate. So the innate fragrance has to cover the relative, there is incidental durgandha, remove the durgandha. This example he gives there. So the important thing is, here the chandanam is comparable to, the sandalwood is comparable to what now? The Atma. Atma, your real nature. The truth of the universe, Paramatma, which obtains available for recognition as the very substance of substantive I, as the innermost essence of every being here, the Atma. And here, the entire Atma here, and this the entire Jagat, what is Upadhi here, isn't it? The entire, the Durgandaha, the encrustation caused Durgandaha is what? He says Jagat. Jagat means what? What is Jagat here? Jagat yat kinchit jagatyam jagat. This entire universe, Jagat is there. The foul smell is compared to this Jagat. And what is this Jagat here? Jagat means you have to understand here. When you say Jagat, whole Jagat has to be resolved in the vision of the Atma. Through the vision of the Atma, it has to be negated as Mithya means. The Jagat implies the Dvaita Prapanchaha. Dvaita Prapanchaha implies what? The entire samsara. The entire transmigratory life involving a comprising what? All your start with, you know, Ajnana, Adhyasa, Adhyaropa, all these terms are used many times before. Ahankara, you know, then all the wrong notions about the self we entertain, the doership, the enjoyership, the sense of inadequacy, the sense of smallness, all limitations, and the inadequacy, limitations caused smallness, the smallness caused needs caused desires, raga dveshas, likes and dislikes, desire impelled actions, karma, and all accessories required for karma, and karma produced results, and the result caused janma. All these things together constitute samsaraha, implied by the term jagatyam jagat. Is it clear now? Which is comparable to the foul smell. Now this samsara has to be resolved for good. Jagat has to be negated as mithya. Samsara has to be resolved for good. Resolution of samsara through the negation of jagat as mithya, through the vision of the Atma, which is Ishwaraha, which is Parameshwaraha, the Lord. This is what is said there. So Shankara made very clear, in his commentary, does not show Ishwara separately. He shows us there is no Ishwara other than the self. There is no reality other than the self. There is no self other than the reality. So Brahma, Atma, Ishwaraha, Aham Shabdartha, isn't it? The substance of the Aham, he brings everything together as one. That's what the mantra shows, and the mantra is very clearly presented by him like this. Therefore, for this, can you overnight resolve this samsara? Can you resolve this jagat? The whole jagat is mithya. Jagat is mithya. Ahamidam sarvam. There is nothing other than myself, my swarupam. Nothing other than my swarupam. All that is here is myself. It is the vision. And it is this vision which is jnanam. And one who has this vision is the one who is free from doership and enjoyership, free from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Such a person who sees everything as Ishwara, everything as the one's own self. Ishwara means what? When a person sees everything as Ishwara, he sees himself being non-separate from the Ishwara. He sees himself as the Ishwara. Very important. Such a person is Jnana Karma Sannyasi, Vidvat Sannyasi. The Vidvat Sannyasaha. So may you protect yourself through the vision, protect yourself by attaining, through the attainment of that vision. So with that vision, when the wrong perceptions are resolved, so here renunciation of the wrong perception of the world, wrong perception of the self, is it? Wrong perception of duality is possible. When it's given up, the renunciation is there, then a person is a Vidvat Sannyasi. So the Sannyasaha, we talk about two types of Sannyasis. One is a Vidvat Sannyasaha, and another one is Vividisha Sannyasaha. Vidvat Sannyasi is the one who's given up the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Giving up the notions means what? He does not give up the notions. The one whose wrong notions about the self, being the doer, enjoyer, etc., all the notions resolved. One has got his notions resolved. The notions resolve naturally in the vision of the self being Atma. He is not holding on to the notions, does not give up the notions. The notions are there naturally, uncreated notions are there. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, these notions are very much rooted there because of the wrong identity with the body, mind, sense complex. And all these notions, once the essence is shifted from the body, mind, sense complex, essence is resolved in Atma, the consciousness, then knowing the nature of the reality being actionlessness, this wise person, he is free from all the wrong notions about the self, such as, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am small, I am inadequate, all the notions are resolved. So the one who has got his wrong notions resolved through the vision of the self being actionless consciousness, and he is a Vidvat Sannyasi. It's called Vidvat Sannyasaha. any wise person is a vidvat sannyasi. So the tena tyaktena bunjitaha means vidvat sannyasena, may you protect yourself. May you protect yourself through this renunciation of actions, through renunciation of doership, enjoyership, all the wrong notions, through knowledge. There is no way of freeing yourself from wrong notions you have about yourself, having other than the having the vision of the truth as the self. No, I have given up my notions, but I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, so I am a vidvat sannyasi. No, you say I am a vidvat sannyasi, then you are not a vidvat sannyasi. It is just the cognitive appreciation. The notions are resolved in you. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, these notions are resolved. How? Because of the right identity. Because you have resolved wrong identity. The self is resolved, I sense is resolved in this, the reality. That is, then there is vidvat sannyasaha. So, vidvat sannyasaha implies vision of the reality as the self, or vision of the self being the reality of the whole, and in which vision you resolve the jagat as mithya. So resolving the jagat as mithya in the vision of the reality as the self, and the vision of the self being the reality, there is resolution of the wrong notions about the self, which is called vidvat sannyasaha, and which is the only way of protecting yourself from samsara for good. So, bhunjithaha. Again, the doubt might come. The root bhuj belongs to the seventh conjugation. It is a ubhayapadi dhatuhu. There is atmanepadam and parasmepadam. Just don't worry about grammar, okay? The atmanepadam and parasmepadam. So you can say bhunakti. Bhunakti is a parasmepadam. And then we say bhungte, bhunjate, bhunjate, atmanepadam. Bhunakti, bhunjataha, bhunjanti. No, bhungte, bhunjate, bhunjate. We have these two verbs. If you, the imperative of parasmepadam is what? Actually, different. Na bhunjithaha. So, atmanepadam. If you use this, take this root as atmanepadi root, it means may you enjoy. If you take this root as a parasmepadi root, it means may you protect. Sahanau bhunaktu, may protect, not enjoy. As a parasmepadi dhatu, as a parasmepadam, it means may you protect. As atmane padam, it means may you enjoy. But here, this it's a conventional meaning. In convention, the parasme padam means, the word parasme, the parasme padam meaning is may you protect. As atmane padam, it means may you enjoy. But here the word used is what? Atmane padam. But still, the convention is violated by the Shruti. You have to take it as what? May you protect yourself. Be very careful. Okay, may you protect yourself. Because people may ask all this, why this meaning? May you protect yourself. See, in the what is the context it is used? Because you are talking about samsara. You are talking about negating the jagat as mithya. You are talking about resolving the duality, perception of duality. Therefore, may you protect yourself, bunjitaha, from samsara, through vidvat sannyasaha, by resolving all the wrong notions. There is no protection other than resolving the wrong notions. That is why bondage is where? In all wrong no. Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandhamochayo. So, bandha is in your notion. Bondage is in your notion. Freedom also is in your notion. If you resolve the wrong notions, there is freedom. If you entertain the wrong notions, there is bondage. The jagat is, okay, there is no bondage and freedom is not caused by jagat or not caused by anybody else. The wrong, as long as you entertain the wrong notions about the self, there is bondage. The minute you resolve, drop the wrong notions, you don't drop it, the wrong notions resolve, you are free. There is freedom. The wrong notions will not resolve by themselves. You cannot give up the wrong notions. You cannot push aside the wrong notions because you are not holding on to wrong notions. Wrong notions are naturally there. The samsara is naturally there. Isn't it? Caused by ignorance. Therefore, it has to be only resolved. Wrong notions have to be resolved. The wrong notions will resolve only in the wake of the knowledge of the self. Only in the vision of in the ascertained, clear, doubtful vision of the Atma, the self being Paramatma, self being Ishvara. There is no Ishvara other than Atma. Self being Chaitanyam Brahma. Therefore, when you resolve the wrong notions, then there is sanya, vidvat sannyasa. Understand? So, having the wrong notions resolved through the vision of the truth as the self is vidvat sannyasaha. It is not the ropes which makes one a sannyasi, vidvat sannyasa. Therefore, and that is the only way you can protect yourself. So, here tena tyaktena bhunjitaha, and then magridaha kasya svid dhanam. It is svid, kasya svid. The svid is called nipataha. Nipataha means it's not, doesn't convey any meaning. Simply used to adjust the meter. So may you not desire for anybody's wealth. I explained last class itself. Means may you not have, may you have what now? Once you have the vision of everything being Atma, what else is here? Anatma prapanchaha, dvaita prapanchaha, jada anatma dvaita prapanchaha, jada inert, objective, material universe is mithya. Atma is satyam, isn't it? Here, the desire, once you know you are Atma, all that is here is Atma, jagat is resolved in the Atma, Atma as mithya, negate as mithya, what will you have desire for? Will there be desire for anatma? Desire for anatma need not be there. Anatma is mithya, which is as good as non-existent. Desire for anatma is not possible because it is mithya. Desire for atma is not required because it's already you. Understand? So, desire will not be there for anatma. Desire for atma also is not possible. Why? Will you have desire for yourself? Atma is already you, yourself. So, you need not have desire for atma. You will not have desire for anatma because it is mithya. It is your own manifestation, your own appearance. Therefore, desires will resolve. This is called what? Only that's why in the vision of the self being Paramatma, Ishvara, there will not be any desire. The desires will resolve naturally. When the smallness sense, the inadequacy, wrong notions resolve, then along with the wrong notions, sense of inadequacy will resolve, sense of smallness centered on I will resolve, the needs will resolve, ragadveshas will resolve, all other, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsari, all of them will resolve, everything will resolve. There will be only manifestation of fullness. That's what Shankara says here. You know, it's natural for a person to be free from desire for a wise person, will be free from desire for wealth, desire for progeny, and desire for our higher worlds. So, magridaha kasya sriddhanam. Second, because all that is, it is only Atma. Sarvam, aham idam sarvam. All that is, it is myself. Nothing which is not, there is no, therefore the possessor, possessed, when you say everything is myself, all that is here is all, I am all means, the essence is resolved already. I sense is resolved. You see everything as the real self. Therefore, there cannot be my sense. Mine will not be possible. You do not see a second thing other than, the second reality other than the self. It is absolutely cognitive. I am not talking from the paramarthika drishtya, from the standpoint of absolute reality. We see all that is here is Atma. So this is the thing. This is the first verse. Therefore, through the manifestation of through the vision of the self being Paramatma, through the manifestation of one's own Swarupam, the fullness, this the sweet fragrance of fullness, may the foul smell of samsara caused by the encrustation of ajnanam be resolved. Is it clear now? So the encrustation is what? Ajnanam, avidya. The water is avidya. Why encrustation? Why samsara there? Why foul smell there? Avidya is the jalam, isn't it? The sandalwood, association of sandalwood with the water is what they say. The avidya is comparable to what? Ignorance is the compared to water. Is it clear? So this is the thing. Therefore, may there be manifestation of fullness of one's own nature, where you resolve the inadequacies, everything. So with that, let us go to the next verse. I just want to give you the example given by Shankara. Good example, isn't it? Kurvanne veha karmani.
Kurvanne veha karmani.
Jijivishet.
Jijivishet.
Shatagum samaha.
Shatagum samaha.
Jijivishet. Chatagum samaha.
Jijivishet. Chatagum samaha.
Evam twai.
evam twai
nanyatha
nanyatha
atah
atah
tat nanyatha
nanyatha
itah
itah
asti
asti
nanyathe tosti
nanyathe tosti
na karma lipyate nare
na karma lipyate nare.
So you can relax. Know why? The first mantra, which has been explained, is going to be further elaborated discussed in the following verses, 3rd to 9th. So you will become very clear. But now, as I told you earlier, the karma bhu, the sutra bhuta mantra, I said like that. This all second mantra is also another sutra bhuta mantra, wherein the karma yoga is discussed, presented in a nutshell, which will be later on from the 10th mantra onwards, it will be discussed elaborately. So he says, kurvanneva iha karmani, kurvanneva, kurvanneva is a present participle, doing, not remaining lazy, not remaining idle, no, performing, kurvan means performing, not stopping, performing, kurvan yeva. That yeva is an indeclinable word. It is for emphasis. Eva, definitely, choicelessly performing actions. Inevitably, no way you can avoid performing action. So, kurvanna eva, performing actions. Kurvanna eva, what karmani? Kurvanna eva karmani, performing actions, definitely. Jijivishet, may one have desire for living. May one be desirous of living one's life. Jivitum iccha jijivisha. It's a desiderative word. Jivitum iccha jijivisha. A desire for living. Jijivisha. Like muksha, jignyasa. We have another word is jijivisha. So jijivishet means may one be desirous of living, performing actions. Here Shankar Bhagavad Pada interface and says, Shruti need not, because Jiji Vishet is an imperative word. May one have desire for living, performing actions means. Why should Shruti say something which is already there? Desire for living is already there. Desire for I want to live long, happily is already there. Every human being, in every mind, the desire for life is already there. What you already have, Shruti need not say, may you have, please have desire for long life. Shruti need not tell you to have desire for long life. Why? Without being told by Shruti, you already have desire for long life. So Shankara says, here the jijivishet, actually the imperative meaning should be taken for performing actions. May one should perform karma. No, may one live, have desire for long life. Desire, having, being desirous of long living, may one perform actions. That's the meaning. Jijivishet, kurvan eva iha karmani jijivishet. How long? Shatam samaha. Shatagam is a Vedic usage. Chandasa prayogaha. Shatam means 100. Samaha samvatsara. Okay. May one live with a desire to live long for 100 years performing one's actions. The simple translation of the sentence. And this is the teaching prescribed for whom? We've already, the first mantra defined the Vidvat Sanyasaha. It also hinted the Vividisha Sanyasaha. Vividisha Sanyasaha means what? The desire. Vividisha Sanyasaha is a lifestyle. Vidvat Sanyasaha is a state of the mind of a wise person. Whether a person lived a life of karma yoga or a person lived a life of sannyasa, doesn't matter. But through the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, if a person attained the vision of the reality as a self, and having attained the self-knowledge, and in that vision of the self, the person has resolved the universe as mithya, negate the universe as mithya, and he sees everything as the self. And such a person is the Vidvat Sanyasi, we already seen. A wise person is a Vidvat Sanyasi. But the Vividisha Sanyasi, Vividisha Sanyasaha is a lifestyle. Vividisha means desire for knowledge. The one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the value of knowledge. If a person, you know, being qualified for knowledge, if he is qualified for knowledge, and he can take to this lifestyle called sannyasa, Vidisha Sannyasaha. It's a lifestyle. So what is the qualification required for becoming a sannyasi? I mean, for becoming a Vidisha Sannyasi, are choosing to live a lifestyle called Vidisha Sannyasaha. See, whether you are a karma yogi or a sannyasi, whether you are qualified for knowledge, you are not qualified for knowledge. For every human being, ultimate end is what? Purushartha is moksha, is in the form of knowledge. A human being, according to Veda Shastram, every human being's life is a meaningful life, a purposeful life. Every human being is living this life ultimately to discover the truth as the self, or discover the truth of self being the truth. Fact of discovering the self being the truth. In discovering which fact, discovering which truth, for his, this life becomes a meaningful life, a complete life, a successful life. Therefore, that's why the discovery of the truth as the self, discovery of the truth being the self, discovery of the self being the truth is the ultimate goal of human life. That's how Veda sees this. So for any human being, ultimate goal is purushartha. For a person who is discriminate, for him the goal is moksha and jnanam. Moksha in the form of jnanam. What is ultimate goal of your life? Or any spiritual aspirant will say, I am living this life to discover moksha. Even in Puranic language, one will say, I live this life ultimately to have Bhagavad Sakshatkara, to have the vision of Bhagavan. That is what they will say, anybody will say, which means the ultimate end. But are you qualified for this vision or not? You have desire for knowledge, because you know knowledge is freedom, and you know knowledge is a choiceless ultimate goal. So no way you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. But you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Are you qualified for knowledge or not? Then the question comes. Oh, qualification? I know moksha is my choiceless end. Of course, I'm desperate to attain moksha. I really, you know, if knowledge is the only means to attain moksha, I'm committed to the pursuit of knowledge. I want jnanam. I respect shastram, I respect the sampradaya with teacher. I'm committed to the pursuit of knowledge. I'm studying shastram. Which means, then how should you live your life? There must be a way of life. You should choose to live. What should be the lifestyle I live? Shastram prescribes two lifestyles. But remember here, two sadhanams are there and two lifestyles are there. What are the two sadhanams means? Isn't it? Moksha, if you take moksha as the ultimate end, the knowledge is the sadhanam. The sambandha is what? Upaya, upeya, sambandha. Sadhana, sadhya, sambandha. Means, upayaha means, upayaha means end. Upaya, upeya, sambandha. Sadhana, sadhya, sambandha. The means and end connection, relationship. If moksha is the end, knowledge is the means. Really speaking, knowledge and moksha are identical. Knowledge is moksha. Then for knowledge, what is the sadhanam? Shravana manana nididhyasanam of the shastra becomes the means. So jnana yogaha. So systematically studying shastram, going through the study in terms of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam is what jnana yogaha, which is the means for jnanam. Jnana yogaha is the sadhanam and jnanam is the sadhyam. Upaya, upeya. But shravanam, manana, nididhyasanam will be effective only if you are qualified. I'm not saying it be useless, but be, you will benefit for your qualification, isn't it? Therefore, we say antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naischalyam, otherwise called sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi, being endowed with these fourfold qualifications. I don't want to go into the details of that. Again, it becomes tattvabodha class again. So that is qualifications. So the one who is endowed with these fourfold qualifications, or one who is endowed with relative tranquility and relative mental purity, there is no human being. The wise person is said to be the absolutely pure-minded, absolutely tranquil-minded. If you ask, is anybody who is absolutely tranquil and pure, is the wise person. Vidvat sannyasi is absolutely pure-minded. Shuddha antahkaranaha, shuddha hridayaha, nischala hridayaha, nischala antahkaranaha. The absolutely tranquil-minded, absolutely pure-minded is the white person. Because who has resolved all his emotional obstacles for good through the clear, doubt-free vision of the self being Paramatma. But what about here, the qualification required for the shravana nididhyasanam, shravana mana nididhyasanam, he say what now? No, relative purity and relative tranquility, which is called antahkarana shuddhihi, antahkarana naischalyam. Otherwise we can say the fourfold, being endowed with the fourfold qualifications. So the one who is qualified for this jnanam, such a person also should pursue jnanam. The one who is not qualified for jnanam also should pursue jnanam. Why? For both of them, end is one and the same. The one who is qualified for knowledge also should pursue knowledge. The one who is not qualified for knowledge also has to pursue knowledge. But he has to but the lifestyles are different. Both are pursuing knowledge. For both of them, end is the same, mokshaha. Both of them, purushartha is the same. Both of them have purushartha nischayaha. The qualified and the unqualified. Both of them have the same end. Called jnanam mokshaha. That is why both are said to be spiritual aspirants. But Shastram prescribes two lifestyles. If you are qualified, then you can take a life of vividisha sannyasaha. Okay, the person who is relatively qualified for knowledge also is still an ignorant person. He is advised to, he can choose to live a life of vividisha sannyasaha. But the person who is not yet qualified for knowledge, but still who is also spiritual aspirant, who is also committed to the pursuit of knowledge ultimately, in order to get himself qualified for knowledge, he has to choose to live a life of karma yoga. Is it clear now? We are not talking about a karmi at all here. A mature human being is the one, first of all, who has purushartha nischayaha, who is clear. Why am I living this life? What am I living this life for is very clear. And he knows without any doubt, it is the knowledge of the truth. And knowledge of the truth means not an object here. It is knowledge of myself, my own real nature. It is the vision of one's own real swarupam, atma swarupa, suswarupa, dridha jnanam, prajna, suswarupa prajna, suswarupa jnanam is the moksha. There's no thing. And for which you need what? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. But to make it effective, you must be qualified. Then the different lifestyle. If you are not yet ready for that jnanam. So you have to remember, okay, a karma yoga, the one who is given to the lifestyle of karma yoga. One who is given to the lifestyle of a sannyasaha, vividisha sannyasaha. For both of them, end is the same. So nobody is inferior, nobody is superior. But Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks in all this third chapter, fourth chapter, he talks very clearly. He says very clearly, Yat sthanam yogaihi gamyate, sankhyaihi gamyate, tat sthanam yogairapi gamyate. What is ultimately accomplished by sannyasis is accomplished by karma yogis also. But why lifestyles, isn't it? Because if you are not yet, if you are ajnani, of course both sannyasi and a karma yogi are ajnanis. But if you are not yet qualified for knowledge, antahkarna shuddhihi adequate relative purity is not there. Relative tranquility is not there. Sadhana chatushtaya sampatihi is not there. Then nothing to worry. Then better this live a life of karma yoga. Other than living a life of karma yoga, there is no other shortcut method, no way of preparing yourself for knowledge. There is no way of becoming qualified for knowledge. Understand Karma Yoga lifestyle and live a life of Karma Yoga. What about if I go to temple every day, devotion, the path of devotion. You know, people come and ask all this. Understand Karma Yoga, live a life of Karma Yoga. Yitaha anyatha nasti. That's what he's going to say here. I'm repeating. Mantra says that. That's what I'm going to say. What about practicing pranayama? People come and ask all these things. What about practicing Kundalini Yoga? What about practicing meditation? What about Vipassana meditation? What about that meditation? What about Dial God directly meditation? What about this meditation, that meditation? What about, you know, a marathon? Participating in marathon. What about social service activities? What about, you know, why can't we go and do some, you know, service activities? If we go and feed every day the orphans, children, the orphanages, I look after the mentally challenged children. All these doubts come. People come and ask, if I do this, that will do. If I go and, you know, look, help the destitute women. I tell you, the whole Jagat has so many, there's so much we can do for the Jagat. So much we can do for the Jagat. Any karma, any activity you want to do for the well-being of society, the social service activities, they have to be done. Please do, we have to do. That is the only way you can contribute back to society, isn't it? But for what? All the best things we are enjoying from life, our way of contributing back is what? Only, you know, we consume so much, you can contribute back to society through some form of service activities. It's very hard to do. There's no choice. To the extent possible, whatever is possible within your limits, we can do. But that does not make a Karma Yoga. Okay, what is that Karma Yoga here? So here is what he is, living a life of Karma Yoga. The only way you can prepare yourself for Jnanam. See, here Shastram prescribes some karma. First, living a Veda-enjoined life. Living a Vedic way of life. The Vedic way of life is, we call it Sanatanaha Dharmaha. Way of life. This is how you have to live. This is the way of life prescribed, enjoined by the Veda. That is Karma Yoga lifestyle. So Veda prescribes now Vihitam Karma or Nityam Karma. We have types of karmas. Nitya Karma, then Naimittikam Karma. Then Pratishiddham Karma or Nishiddham Karma. Then Kamya Karma. Then Prayaschitta Karma. Okay? Nitya Karma, Namittika Karma. Nitya Karma or Vihitam Karma. Namittikam Karma. Kamya Karma. Nishiddha or Pratishiddham Karma. Then Prayaschitta Karma. All these karmas are there. Here, when you know you are not qualified, not yet ready for Jnanam, and the Shastram assures Moksha is definitely there for you, Jnanam is definitely there for you, because you are a spiritual aspirant, you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, but still you are given to study of the Shastram also, but still you are not yet qualified for knowledge, so may you live this lifestyle. Now, first here, vihitam, now for nitya karma. So this, the one who chooses to live a life of karma yoga, performs his nitya karma. Nitya karma is regular, compulsory duties. One's own duties. One's own duty, one's own varna dharma, ashrama dharma. One's own duties. Now, one has to play one's own. Every individual has to play different roles, and as a role player, you as a person, one person playing different roles, you know what all roles you have to play, and in playing all your roles, what are your duties? You know, so you doing one's own duties. You know your duties. Nitya karma. Definitely a karma yogi, you know, is very committed to do his nitya karma. Does not omit, avoid his duties. Compulsory duties. Then naimittikam karma means the actions, the karmas which have to be performed occasionally, but for some nimittam. For some given purpose, like shraddham. Anything you celebrate, not every day you don't do that, you perform occasionally. Certain relevant occasion must be there, you for relevant reason, relevant purpose. So the karmas we performed, no, for relevant purpose. It's called naimittikam karma. A karma yogi performs, does relevant, these actions also. Duties. Naimittikam karma. So nityam karma, naimittikam karma. Then kamya karma. The kamya karma means the actions performed for the fulfillment of specific desires. Karma yogi reduces he performs nitya karma, naimittikam karma. But kamya karma he reduces. How does he reduce? Because even any action performed by anybody is impelled by one's need and desire. But this karma yogi chooses to avoid the wrong actions, chooses to perform the right actions. Therefore, kamya karmas become reduced. Reduce, okay? Yes, we can say kamya karma, reduced kamya karmas. Nityam naimittikam kamya. Then, even the prayaschitta karmas, then nishiddha karma he completely avoids. The prohibited actions. The actions which are wrong, which are prohibited actions, he avoids totally. Then prayaschitta karma, also the karmas performed for neutralizing one's previously done, unknowingly done wrong actions. Prayaschitta karma also he reduces. Which means he reduces his prayaschitta karma, reduces his kamya karma, he performs nitya karma, naimittika karma, he avoids totally nishiddham karma. Prohibited actions. Prohibited means the wrong actions, that's all. Because I'm using a sort of Sanskrit words, don't think that. This is one thing. But the main thing what you have to understand here is, now we're confused about what is nitya karma, naimittika karma also. So here, what Shastram says is, generally, every individual has to play different roles. In playing different roles, one knows what one has to do. One knows one's own duties. So may you perform your duties. So karma yogi, he has to perform one's duties. In performing one's duties, you know, definitely his actions must be in conformity with dharma. That's the main teaching. Is a karma yoga means there is no karma yoga without involving without being conscious of dharma. Because dharma consciousness must be there. A karma yogi is the one who is conscious of dharma, values, righteousness. So the one who chooses to live life karma yoga sees that all his actions are in conformity with dharma. None of his actions really unknowingly also transgresses the dharma. Which means his actions are not dictated by his personal likes and dislikes. I like it, therefore I do it. I don't like it, therefore I don't do it. Whether he likes it or not, he does it if it is right. He likes it or not, he does not do it if it is wrong. That is what is we say, the performance of actions. Those actions are not governed by his personal whims and fancies. But his actions are not dictated by his likes and dislikes. But they are completely, totally governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. Okay, dharma governed. And this karma, that is why when a person's actions become governed by his knowledge of right and wrong, dharma, then all his actions are, in conformity with the values. And such actions which are in conformity with values are right actions. Dharma aviruddha karmani. The actions which are not opposed to dharma. Which are in conformity with dharma. Therefore, because his actions are governed by dharma, he is conscious of dharma, does he use his willpower or not? He makes the best use of his willpower. He uses the willpower. The willpower is what? The power of the capacity to choose to do an action is called willpower. And he makes the best use of his willpower. That is why he can always choose to do the right, avoid the wrong. So the one who uses his willpower, one who chooses to do the right, avoids the wrong, is said to have surrendered his will to Bhagavan in the form of universal law and order. This called dharma sharanagatihi eva ishvara sharanagatihi. Understand? Surrendering one's will to dharma is in fact surrendering one's will to Bhagavan in the form of law and order. This is called relative sharanagatihi. This I discussed many times in 3rd chapter Gita also. Because the topic happens to be the Karma Yoga, had to bring in the essence of 3rd chapter here. Actually, from here only, the vision of this mantra, the vision of the Karma Yoga discussed in the Upanishad is elaborately discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, I'm not coming from there here. From here it must have gone. Because what is Upanishad is a source book for Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, dharma sharanagatihi eva bhagavat sharanagatihi. Isn't it? I told you many times, in jnanam, the first mantra when you say, all that is here is myself, wherein you resolved your identity with Bhagavan, you say, everything here is myself. Myself means what? The Atma. All that is here is Atma. Atma mayam jagat. When you say Brahma mayam jagat, when you say, that is absolute sharanagatihi. Even you live a life karma yoga, you commit yourself, you surrender your will to dharma, this is relative sharanagatihi. So the one who has surrendered his will to Bhagavan in the form of dharma, through his commitment to live a life of dharma, not to transgress the dharma, he is a karma yogi. This is dharma anushtata. this is main thing which makes occur once, you know, one a karma yogi, which means karma, its performance of karma does not become yoga. The yoga is what here, the lifestyle the person lives, you know, helps him to prepare his mind for jnanam. How the living a life of dharma contributes for the mental preparation required for jnanam? Because knowledge, this shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, shravanam during shravanam, you must be able to grasp the teaching, which is dependent on Bhagavan's grace. You can make effort. Effort must be there. But efforts must be blessed by Bhagavan anugraha. How can you have the grace of Bhagavan in terms of, you know, being the capacity to understand what is being said in the class, isn't it? That is Bhagavan's grace. Mananam, you must be able to see the limitations of others, the different thinkers. You must be able to see the fallacies in different views that need sharp intellect. To have the sharpness of intelligence, intellect, to be able to see the limitations and fallacies in all different views and to understand, see that your understanding is a clear understanding, for which you need a sharpness, sharp intellect, for which you need Bhagavan's grace. And for the Bhagavan's grace also what, isn't it? Bhagavan's grace is required. And also to be able to continuously dwell upon the fact you understood clearly through Shravanam and Mananam, thereby to assimilate, have the ascertained vision, to resolve all your emotional obstacles, also you need Bhagavan's grace. So Bhagavan's grace, anugraha, you need for every step, you need Bhagavan's grace, isn't it? How can you tap Bhagavan's grace if you do not live an alert, conscious life? You know, if you are not living a life in conformity with dharma, isn't it? That is why living a life, a conflict-free life, one has to live in order not to rub against the universal law and order. You can tap Bhagavan's grace only if you live your life in harmony with the universal law and order. And to live your life in harmony with universal law and order, you need to have what a conflict-free life, and for which no choice, you have to choose to live a life of dharma. So that's why commitment to live life of dharma is so important. There's no yoga without dharma. There's no preparation of the mind without living a life of dharma. No way of becoming qualified for jnanam without living a life of dharma. The karma yoga means you have to understand dharma anushtana mukhyatvam, pradhanyam. So important. And this, you know, this is this thing. Next thing is, in performing actions also, what sort of attitude you entertain, that makes the karma again a yoga. So commitment to dharma converts your action into yoga. Then your attitude entertain in performing actions convert your actions into yoga. Karma into yoga. There again, whatever action is performed, there is Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi. Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi, the attitude of offering all your actions to Bhagavan, means what? Now, being 100% being clear about the purpose of living this life, the purpose of doing every action you are doing, every small or big, simple or difficult, no, it's a big deal or a small deal, anything you do, you do it knowingly that you are doing everything to live this life, and you are living this life ultimately to discover the truth, which is moksha. There should not be any doubt at all. I am living this life ultimately to discover the truth. Whether I am going to discover this life or not, that's a different thing. Whether I will be qualified or not, that's a different thing. I am living this life with this purpose. For this purpose, with this understanding, I am living my life. So to live my life, I am doing every day, every fraction of second, every minute, every day. No, the breathing continuously, I'm seeing things, I'm perceiving things, I'm transacting with the world, I'm doing what I need to be doing, eating, drinking, everything. Everything I'm doing, I'm living this life for the purpose of discovering Paramatma Swarupam as my own Swarupam ultimately, which is where lies my moksha, my Janma Saphalyam, isn't it? The understanding when you perform, then those actions become offered to Bhagavan. For such a person, not only the act of worshipping is worship, every action he performs becomes worship. Understand? That is why without Purushartha Nischaya, without having commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, if you simply live, having artha kamas as the ultimate ends, if you perform, the person is highly religious, and even if he is worshipful, if he is prayerful, and even he performs even if he is involved in the act of worshipping, his act of worshipping also becomes just an action, a punya karma. Understand? Whereas for the one with the Purushartha Nischaya, knowing his end being moksha, and knowing that end moksha being in the form of jnanam, and the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, if a person consciously living a life of dharma, he performs every action knowing very well that I am doing this action, I am doing everything I do to live this life. I'm living this life ultimately for discovering the truth. A person lives his life and every small action he performs becomes worship. Your worship becomes action if there is no Purushartha Nischaya. Punya karma, it becomes, that's all. It's a punya karma. But your action becomes worship if you live knowing your end being moksha. Isn't it? And for a karma yogi's life is a life of worship. Jivanameva yajanam yajna. The whole life becomes a life of yajna. In performing Isharpana Buddhihi, in accepting, in receiving all results of actions, in facing every situation in life, karma yogi entertains a different attitude, the attitude of seeing everything as prasadaha. It's called karma phala svikarane ishvara prasada buddhihi. Karma anushtane karma karane ishvara arpana buddhihi. For a karma yogi, every situation that unfolds in life is prasadaha. Prasadaha means gift from Bhagavan. Why? Because every situation, karma yogi is sharp enough to understand this fact, every situation that comes is not nobody else in the world is responsible for the situation that I am going through in my life. Nothing is responsible for the situation I am going through in my life. Whatever I am going through in life is what? A situation specifically ordained by, determined by Bhagavan in the form of natural laws. Therefore, there's neither hatred towards anybody, does not cause any anger towards anybody, there's no there's no even passion or attachment towards anybody. This attitude helps him to neutralize also his what? Likes and dislikes. So the capacity to neutralize his likes and dislikes, when his person performs, sees every situation as something ordained by, determined by the natural law, and when he is understanding everything is Ishvara, even though the fact has not yet become true to his understanding, he accepts his Vedic vision that everything is Ishvara. So the law which ordains, determines the situation also is Ishvara. Therefore, the law ordained situation is Bhagavan, Lord ordained situation. Therefore, it is all prasadaha. That once he sees everything as prasada, and whether success or failure, all the paths of opposites are prasadam for him. Success is a prasadam, failure is also prasadam. Loss is prasadam, gain is prasadam, victory is prasadam, defeat is prasadam. Pain is prasadaha, pleasure also is prasadaha. All paths of opposites are prasadaha, prasadaha eva. Therefore, why prasadaha? It is determined by Bhagavan in the form of law and order, natural laws. Therefore, prasadaha. Because everything is understood as prasadaha. And not only this, one more thing. Any situation is of the nature of coming and going. Bhagavad Gita, it is said, agama apayinaha anityaha. They come and go, no situation is permanent. There's one real, it's a fact about the situations. Also, one must be sharp enough to understand even this is just simplest fact. No situation, we all know this, but how much do we think about it? When you go through situation, you forget it. The painful situation, the pleasure, the loss or gain, every situation is subject to change, isn't it? They all come and go, nothing is permanent. When we go through pleasure, we think it's going to be permanent. No. Going to go away. When you go through pain, my God, it seems to you, it will not go at all. That's why we see that. But any situation is, all these paths of opposites are time-bound in nature. They come and go, but they are Lord ordained. Okay? With understanding, when he sees everything as prasada, then there is no elation or dejection on the part of a karma yogi. This being balanced, remaining equanimous in all situations, with the understanding that they're all prasadam because they're determined by Bhagavan in the form of law and order, it is this samatvam yogaha. Understand, it's Bhagavad Gita lesson. It is how many times you repeatedly listen, so you will not feel bored. I think you should not feel bored because it's very important. Because I understood very well, Swamiji, I feel really bored, you know. You repeat it a lot. If you are able to remain the same in all situations, then I will not repeat it. How many times to repeat prasada buddhi, prasada buddhi? We've been listening and we've been bored. Okay, prasada buddhi. Therefore, it is this commitment to dharma, Ishwarpana buddhi in performing actions, Ishwar prasada buddhi in facing situations. It is these attitudes, isn't it? Converts one's actions into yoga. Therefore, here, how should you live your life? If you are not yet ready for a wise person is a vidvat sannyasi. A qualified person, the one who is qualified for knowledge, is a Vividisha, can become a Vividisha Sannyasi, can take the life of Vividisha Sannyasaha. Sannyasa Ashramaha, isn't it? If you are not yet qualified, means what choice do you have? Vidvat Sannyasa is ruled out. Vividisha Sannyasaha. Vidva Sannyasa is not a lifestyle, it is jnanam, knowledge, isn't it? For Vidva Sannyasa, you have to be first of all Vidisha Sannyasi. You don't need to be, if you are not yet ready, don't worry. Still, as a Karma Yogi also, you can become Vidva Sannyasi. You can become a wise person, you can attain jnanam. Only thing is, pursuit of knowledge is common for both a sannyasi and a karma yogi. But you also have to take care of the qualification required for the knowledge. That means, live a life of karma yoga. Therefore, this karma yoga is prescribed here in the second mantra. Oh, sorry, stop it. So, kurvaneva iha karmani. Don't think I completed the verse, okay? I only briefed what I need to say. Second mantra will continue tomorrow only. Okay. Kurvaneva iha karmani jijivishet shatam samaha. Do not worry about moksha and jnanam. Do not worry about it. You are very clear, you moksha is your end. You are very clear that between jnanam and moksha there is upaya upaya sambandha. Between jnana yoga, the pursuit of knowledge, and jnanam, there is upaya upaya sambandha. Between karma yoga and preparation, understand, upaya upaya sambandha. Before jnana yoga is what now? Karma yoga. Sadhanam. Therefore, shatam samaha, may one have desire to live for long, 100 full years. Why should we have a short life? May we live our full span of life, enjoying healthy limbs, good mind, isn't it? Because make the best use of the span of life, Bhagavan ordained. But how should we live? Karmani kurvan yeva iha. Evam tvayi na anyatha. Itaha anyatha nasti. Itaha anyatha nasti. Other than living a life of karma yoga, no other way for preparing your mind for knowledge. Without knowledge, no moksha. What? There's no choice. Other than living a life of dharma, no way. So, the karma yoga. Itaha means other than living a life of karma yoga, anyatha nasti. If you live a life of karma yoga, then you become qualified for knowledge. Then you will be blessed with the knowledge. Once you have the knowledge, and you will be free from bondage. I am stopping this. I have not yet completed the second mantra. Actually speaking, I have yet to continue the first mantra itself. So, I only then little bit, okay? So, we'll see tomorrow.
Next time.
Yeah, next Upanishad class I'll continue, okay? Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.